Imagine trumpets, like the King of England is on the phone. He's not exactly the King of England, but he's got a posh accent. You know what time it is? It's time for the Zero Hour. And you know, hey y'all, you know who this is? It's the British version of Mark Fitz, right, as your co-host. And who's to my right?
That's your host, Christine Chapman.
She doesn't sound British.
Not British.
And who's on the phone?
That would be Ashton Stewart.
From Washington, D.C., but originally from where,
Dude,
Ashton?
You're not from Washington, D.C.
No. Well, I'm calling in from Washington.
Yes, you
originally
are.
Originally from the U.K.
Originally from the... You know what? I couldn't tell. Okay, all right. I got questions. So, posh accents. I think all English people have posh accents. So, what is the difference between posh and non-posh?
Well, see, I wouldn't consider myself to be that posh, to be honest.
Okay.
But I can understand, like, but when people hear me talk, yeah, I can understand why people would think I'm posh.
But you are posh.
Do you think so?
Yes, Ashton.
So what would a posh accent sound like? All right, hang on. Let me do my best posh accent. Ready? Hello, it's Mark Fitz from the Zero Hour.
Your accents are not good, Mark.
My accents are awesome. Wait.
I think it's great. Ashton,
do me a favor.
Ashton, you are doing what this generation of students would call glazing. You are glazing, Mark.
Thought I was a donut.
I'm
he
crazy.
Tried to glaze me. Ashton, do me a favor. Do your best American accent in 3, 2, 1.
Well, you know, I don't really know what to say, but... my name's Ashton. I'm originally from south side of Texas, Dallas.
He's
and,
good.
I'm a student. Yeah, it's coming along.
It's happening.
Along.
Okay, dude, A, it was fantastic. B, all English folk, when they do American accents, they sound like they're whining. Do we sound like we're whining? Do Americans sound like they're whining all the time?
Yes.
Maybe that's just what we pick up on. It's sort of like, I guess when you're asked to do an accent, you sort of pick up on the stereotypes, I guess.
Yes.
Well, kind of like my accent.
Sort of subconsciously.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I guess. Exactly.
Isn't it like an East London accent? Apples and pears, stairs. What is that? Cockney? What is that?
I would say it's more of a Midland accent.
Oh.
So I'm from just north of London in Bedfordshire.
Okay.
And that's you'd find more people sort of talk like me. The further south you go down to London, they get a bit more Cockney.
Like ham and eggs
within London,
right?
Yeah, ham and
eggs. Like ham and eggs.
Ham and eggs. Ham and eggs. Yeah, exactly. Ham and eggs.
In it, right?
Yes. In it.
Well, that would be South London. They talk like this. In it.
So
wow.
So it's different within London.
It's kind of like accents in New York. So you got Brooklyn, what's up? And then you have New York,
yeah.
Right? New York, like, and then you got the Bronx, what's up in the Bronx, right? And then you got like Boston. Dude, the Boston accent, it's like nails on a chalkboard for me. It's horrible.
I love it.
You do? Pack the con,
yeah.
Have it, yad.
I think it's I think it's quite a cool accent.
Interesting.
What are you doing in D.C.?
Why are you here?
Why are you in our country? What are you doing here?
I'm studying. I'm at university now.
Where do you go? Please share.
I'm a freshman at the George Washington University at the Elliott School of International Affairs.
Amazing.
Oh, yes, you are. All right, dude. I gotta get the cart a little bit before the horse. All right.
Okay.
If I was in my late teens and early 20s in college in Europe, right, in London, as a New Yorker, as an American, would the girls just be falling all over me because of my accent?
Some definitely would. Yeah, absolutely.
Are you experiencing
absolutely,
that?
I'm sure they
are
would.
You experiencing that?
Yes, big time. I'm I'm I'd like to think I'm known in my dorm as the British guy.
Of course you are. You're the
That's
only
often
one.
What I'm referred to as.
When
someone talks about Ashton, you know, they're not quite sure who Ashton is. They might have heard of him, not sure. But when they say, the British guy, they're like, yeah, I know him.
He wears the skinny jeans, right? And he's got, like, the good shirt and pop collar on his polo. Dude, what's funny about your first name, and nothing is funny about your first name, but of the three guys I know who live in the UK, two of them are named Ashton.
Really?
Yes. A very good friend of mine, Kerry Black, right, is from Brooklyn, met an English guy, right, in college, at university, right, in New York. She moved to the UK 25 years ago, has two sons. One of her sons is named Ashton.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, so Ashton, how did we, shall we speak to how we came to get to know one another or each other? And I'm just going to give a little bit of background. So I worked years ago with Ashton's older brother, Zach.
Mm-hmm. That's an American name. Yo, Zach!
Right. And then years later, Zach's mom reached out to me and introduced me to Ashton. And when Ashton and I met, Ashton was attending school in Amman, Jordan. Is that correct?
That's correct. It was actually Madaba, Jordan, just outside.
Oh, sorry.
Wait, Mr. Posh Accent Kid. What the hell are you doing in UAE, right? So
Jordan.
Jordan.
Oh,
Jordan.
Oh, dude, I'm an American. I don't know geography. What the hell is that? Jordan, where's Jordan? And where?
Jordan, Jordan, it's just below Lebanon.
What are you doing there? Why are you in Jordan?
Well, he's not there now, but why was he there,
Correct. Why were you in Jordan, dude?
I was there for high school. So I was originally at high school in Switzerland. And then me and my parents sort of came to a conscious decision to, you know, move. Switzerland's not the best place for you right now. And we were looking at various options, maybe going back to the UK for my last 2 years. And this idea of Jordan came about, and you know we're pretty wacky people, and we thought, let's go look at the place. You know, that's probably where we should start. Just have a look at it. Could be a cool idea. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Let's just go have a look at it. And I was sort of dreading the idea of going out there. Like I was in the cushy, you know, Swiss Alps. I was all comfortable and everything. I had all my friends there. I had everything I ever really needed there. And I went to visit King's Academy, the name of the school, and I fell in love with the place. It was completely empty. It was during COVID. I went to visit. And I completely fell in love with the place, which is funny because my parents actually had the opposite reaction. They didn't like the fact that it was empty, and they thought, you know what, it's a long shot, this just isn't going to work out. And I sort of said, no, I want to come. I can see myself here. I can see myself thriving here. And I went.
Okay.
Wait, Ashton, hang on a second. I'm looking at Christine.
I have so many questions.
Hold your horses.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Firstly, I didn't get to ask you this, Ashton. Who do you support? Who's your team?
My football team?
Yes.
Arsenal.
They just played a couple days
ago. We're actually playing right now.
Are you?
I know. I got the TV on. I'm watching it. I'm kidding.
No, you're not.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. We're 2-0 up against Brighton. Big game.
It is. Who is your favorite player?
Bukayo Saka.
Yes. Really?
Yeah. He's the best.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the best. He's fantastic.
And who do you want to win? What cup is coming?
The World Cup.
No, something different. There's a big game coming up, right? And then next maybe year, not the World Cup, something else.
The Champions League.
Yes.
Yeah, I want Arsenal to win it.
Okay.
We're still in it.
All right.
We are going to win it. I'm sure we're going to win it.
And is Beckham? Did he live up to the hype, in your opinion?
Beckham, he was fantastic. Really? He was fantastic.
Really?
Every time now I'm playing football, one of the first things I say is, bend it like Beckham.
Do you really?
All right, you want to hear what's funny about
all
that?
The time.
Every time I go in to get a haircut, I say, give me the Beckham. I swear, dude, I got the Beckham haircut. It's a little longer than the Beckham haircut, but I go, dude, give me the Beckham. He's like, really? I go, not the skinhead, you know, how he is right now. So, yeah, I rock the Beckham.
Yeah,
all right.
So funny.
All right. So listen, your story seems to be not of the average UK citizen, right? I was born in Switzerland. I didn't spend any time there as a kid. But I do have a Swiss passport and so on and so forth. I have family there. I mean, it seems like you've had some really cool opportunities to live life and see stuff, right? Like, I've never been to Jordan.
I'm interrupting because I've been listening now, and I'm done shutting up. Okay.
Ooh.
Okay, because I have questions, because there are aspects to this story, Ashton, that I'm not aware of. Like, how did King's Academy even become a blip on your radar, right? And like, what was it that made you say, I like it here. I can imagine myself here. I can see myself here, when your parents were like, no. We saw it. Well, we thought it was a good idea. Don't think so. And suddenly the kid is like, yeah, I want to travel to the Middle East where it's dangerous. Leave the comforts of Switzerland. Right? Like,
well, yeah. So it came on our radar originally because my father and mother have a lot of friends out there, and they, Arabs. They want to show their country. They want to express their love for their country, and the way they can show that best is by having you out there and actually experiencing it.
Yep.
And it's a common misconception, I think, that a lot of us Westerners have about the Middle East, that it is that because their rules and their way of life is so different to ours, that we can perceive it as being a bit dangerous. In actuality, it's no more dangerous than, you know, England or America. You know, it's just a different way of living. So it came on our radar. We went to visit it, and it was just this overwhelming sense of almost belonging. I haven't really thought about that, but I had this feeling, and I sort of knew it was going to be good. And I don't know. I'm not the type of person to just make impulse decisions.
But you did. I mean, it sounds very impulsive.
It was a very impulsive decision. It was. And boy, oh boy, am I glad I took it.
Okay, so you took it. Your parents are like, okay, Ashton, we're going to trust you with this one. Let's see what happens, right? And you begin junior year.
Wait,
in Jordan.
For the rest of the population who don't know about this school, right? What is it called? Yes. King's what?
King's.
Is it
College.
Is it like a thing?
King's Academy.
Like, what type of kids attend King's Academy in Jordan? It sounds very posh. Can you stop coughing in a microphone,
I'm sorry,
please?
Sorry.
It sounds very posh. Like, who attends that? Like, kids from all over the world? And, you know, that's my first question.
Yeah, question. So it's very international in respect to the Middle East. They do brand themselves an international school, which they are. And it's known, I guess, for being one of the top schools in the Middle East. But it's very, very international in respect to the Middle East. I was the only European student at the school.
Wow.
There does tend to be more, there are some very wealthy students there, but there are also some, it's 50% scholarship students, 50% students receiving some kind of financial aid.
Good.
I'm not sure how many students are on a full ride, but there are a lot. There are a lot. After the earthquake in Lebanon, I think there were like 12 students who they just said, come on over, just come to King's instead. Their school was demolished. They said, just come to King's. A lot of Palestinian families from the West Bank.
Yep.
They come over. It's, you know, probably not the best time for them to be in Palestine. So Jordan's a safe place for them to be.
Sure.
And yeah, it's just a fantastic place. You know, because you never know who is who. You never know. Someone might come from everything. Someone might come from nothing. But everyone acts the same.
That's the best part of it.
Beautiful. You don't really get that anywhere else.
Yeah. That's the best part. Is that
you certainly don't get it in Switzerland.
And what was it like, right? What was it like to be the only European in a school community? I would imagine that must have been a little odd for you, right?
It was certainly tricky. Yeah, it was certainly tricky. I had a nickname, which people would call me. They would call me Ajnabi.
What does that mean?
The direct translation is like the foreigner, the white guy.
Okay, all right.
That's what I was known as. And, you know, it has its benefits. It also has its drawbacks. But it was tricky to acclimate into that because, while Arabs are very, very proud, they're also very, they're difficult people to crack, to sort of peel the layers off, to get to know them a little bit.
Because you're an outsider.
Sort of a first, yes, completely. I'm a complete outsider.
Yeah.
And the British haven't exactly been the most favored people in the Middle East.
Have you seen what America has done? Neither are we.
So there is a little bit of apprehension there, I guess, at the beginning. But once everyone meets you, talks to you for a little bit, they're just the most lovely people, the most welcoming people. They couldn't care less about where you come from. They're just wanting to know more about you and where you come from. It's just lovely.
So you end up in Jordan, and I understand, or I know rather, just because we got the opportunity to work together, that before you went to college, you had done a lot of really interesting work that ended up on your resume that most kids don't get to do. Mm-hmm. Do you feel comfortable speaking about that?
Yeah, I can definitely speak about this.
Well, and I think it's important to speak about it because it's something that has colored your vision for your future plans, correct?
Yeah, well, it's changed my view on the world, really. I was offered an internship with something called the Aqua Process. It's a meeting between countries, no journalists, it's very informal, and they discuss counterterrorism and different counterterrorism measures, narratives, and what different countries are doing differently. How can the knowledge of Jordan and what they're currently doing help, you know, another country in the Middle East who aren't quite combating terrorism in the most effective way possible?
Wait, dude, is this like a youth organization? Because you're a young man, and it sounds like something you've done recently. So is it a type of conversation that's amongst kids, and I don't mean to, you know, diminish that, teenagers, let's just say, right? And getting the teenagers together to help figure it out? Christine's looking at me like I'm crazy.
It's done by the Jordanian government, and it's a meeting between various presidents, intelligence agencies, different forums like you know, the World Internet Forum, but I mean various organizations were there. I mean,
dude, I'm connecting with you on LinkedIn right now. I'm connecting with you on LinkedIn right now.
It was done in collaboration with other governments and intelligence agencies.
So how does one receive an insider seat or a seat at the table, even if it's at the edge of the table, when one is a high school student at an international school, Ashton Stewart? Like, how does that transpire?
Well, I made a lot of friends while I was in Jordan, a lot of friends and relationships that my father had previously cultivated. And one day one of his friends said, hey, would you be at all interested in doing something with the ACABA process?
Wow.
And I almost leaped at him and said, yes, I would love to. Once he explained what it was. And I did 3 months with them first. And then I did another 3 months, and then another 2 months remotely. So for 6 months, I was going into the office and actually working firsthand with the people organizing this this meeting. And then when I went back to Switzerland for my holidays, I had another 2 months working remotely on a separate meeting for Latin America, actually.
Wow. Okay, so how did this experience change your perspective on the world? Because you literally said that earlier, right? This experience like really shifted your perspective on the way you see the world. And how did it influence what you want to do in the world?
Well, I saw what was happening in the world, and we don't really see what governments are doing to stop terrible things happening to their own people. There are a lot of people who want to cause a lot of chaos. And that's not just terrorist organizations, that's a lot of people. And it was very interesting for me to see how these people who are completely unnamed are working to keep everyone else safe. And you get to see how these people interact. These are the people who are making the big decisions. And you get to see their thought process and how deals are put together and how, when cameras aren't around and the media isn't a barrier to working with certain countries, how easily things can get done. And for me, when I got to see the way things work, that was my big takeaway from it. I got to see the way things work. So I got to see I don't want to mention what sort of things went on, but
sure.
it was just a truly mind-boggling experience for me. And I'm actually hoping to do another internship again this summer.
So I find this, what you just said, fascinating. Here's why. I believe that if the general public knew what the hell was happening and what was about to go down and how these unknown departments in people, these faceless departments actually are stopping meltdowns, breakdowns, world destruction, they hide it from the public because they don't want to cause mass hysteria,
yes.
Right? Like potential bombings and just stuff that is in play. We would be ignorant as a human race to think that everyone is playing nice in a sandbox, right? Everyone is not playing nice in a sandbox. And
absolutely not.
It is purposely out of the media, because if it was in the media, stock markets would crash. People would just – it would be mass chaos. It seems to me, like Ashton, that – people who are in that room and you interacting with them, you need to have a certain level of security clearance, right? That what is being discussed, whether you're a part of it, you know, you're kind of, you know, you're listening to it, is like scary as hell, right? And like, this is like CIA stuff. This is like movie stuff. This is like All right, the bomb's going to go off in 3 minutes. We got to stop it, or else the whole world's going to implode. Like, does it? Let me ask you: does it, as a result of some of these internships you've done, does it give you more or less faith in humanity?
It gives me much more faith.
Excellent answer.
Because, absolutely can give me more faith. Because I've seen what we're capable of doing when we all come together and work together to find a solution, when we don't care what anyone else thinks, because there's no media there. So, you know, it would be, the structure of the meeting is very interesting, actually. There are like 12 coffee breaks, you know, each coffee break 20 minutes. And during these breaks, you know, you're talking just randomly to the guy next to you or whoever's at, you know, you're getting a glass of water or an orange juice at the refreshment stand, you know, and you're sitting next to people who are, oh, okay, okay, so you've got this, you've got whatever, your military gear, but you don't have trucks, for example. Okay, well, I've actually got some extra trucks that you can use if you need them. If you're going to use them to fight this, yeah, I'll help you out with that. I'll send them over to you.
That's how it's
free
done.
Free of charge.
Yep.
All good. And it's just done so quickly. You get each other's phone numbers. Bang. Done.
Yes.
It happens so quickly, just like that. And even if only, you know, if there are, say, 10 items or 12 items on the agenda and, you know, two or three or four of them actually get followed up and followed through with them, that's a massive success. That's a big shift in terms of fighting terrorism and countering the cultivation of young terrorists, potential terrorists.
So Ashton, when you imagine, like when you applied to colleges, right, Washington, D.C. was very much a part of the plan for you, if possible, right? You wanted to make sure that you were in the nation's capital, in the United States of America. Why was that so important to you? Did you feel like you wouldn't be able to get the work done in any other city because of what you hope to study? Because there are schools of international affairs and public policy in virtually every university in the nation. Like, why was it Washington, D.C.? And are you glad you made that choice?
Well, I'm absolutely thrilled I'm here. I actually love it here in D.C. It's a fantastic city.
Wonderful.
I was invited on a school trip to join. His Majesty invited a few students to Washington, D.C. He was addressing Congress. And he invited a few students from King's to be a part of that trip, to travel with the Jordanian delegation to address Congress. And
to travel with royalty and the governmental delegation?
Well, yes.
That's amazing.
I traveled as part of, yes, I was there. It was, yeah. It
I just sent you a LinkedIn request. Wow, dude, that's
impressive.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I was very honored and very grateful to be included on that trip. And so I got to see a little bit of Washington, and I took the opportunity as well to come visit the universities here.
Yep.
And I just fell in love with the place. I was like, one, this is the place where everything gets done.
Yep.
And two, it's just an awesome place. It's just, I've had so much fun here, met so many interesting people. It was really a no-brainer for me. If I didn't get into university here, I probably wouldn't have gone to the university in America. It was really here or nowhere else for me.
Ashton, I have a question. I vaguely remember Christina and I having a conversation about you at your first college frat party. What was your experience at your first frat party in the United States?
Okay, so wait. So you come to the delegation, you come as a member of the delegation, you decide, yes, this is where I want to come to school. You make the decision that, you know, it's school in Washington, D.C. or bust. You end up at George Washington and you are looking forward to the world, the college experience and the world opening up to you, right? And
then
yes,
it goes to a fraternity house.
So how did you end up at the fraternity house? Because you don't seem to me to be a partier, per se.
Everyone's got their
shtick. Well, yeah, I know, but like, I just can't see him necessarily at a keg party.
We're going to get the story right now.
Yes, okay.
Well, no, you're exactly right, Christy. I'm not a massive one for going out. I do enjoy going out. Upon occasion, but I don't do it too regularly. And
It was Halloween.
And one of my really good friends from Jordan, he said, "Listen, man, it's Halloween. You've got to come out. You've got to come out."
Wait, are you kind of a bookworm? Are you like in your dorm room, like studying? And dude, are you trying to?
No, I'm always out and about. I'm always doing things, but I just don't particularly enjoy going out and doing those. I do enjoy it, but I just don't do it too often.
He's not reading scripture.
You're reading scripture?
He's watching football. He's listening to music, right? You're a music aficionado.
I do love music. I've always got earphones in.
All right, dude, we're going to do some Beatles later, but hang on. So your homeboy from Jordan says, "Brother, it's Halloween, right? Dress up as an Englishman. Like, wear an ascot, wear a button down, pop your collar and your polo, fix up your hair, right? And you're an Englishman. Like let's go to a party, right?"
So do you dress up? Did you actually dress up, Ashton?
Well, I didn't have, it was a Halloween party and I didn't have a costume.
So you just went as you?
I just told everyone I was an English TV show character, and they sort of just went along with it.
Perfect. Stupid Americans.
I don't know if you've heard of them. I went as Gavin from Gavin and Stacey. I don't know if you have that over here. That's huge in the UK.
No, but I will look it up.
All right, dude.
Gavin and
what?
Stacey.
Yeah. Come on, get to it. What was it like?
I'm getting there.
Come on, man.
I arrived, okay, and I arrive, I'm in a great neighborhood.
Hang on. I'm sorry, I got to interrupt because I have an image. All right, have you ever seen the Eddie Murphy movie Coming to America?
I have.
Oh, my God. So the image I'm having is you're coming to America like Eddie Murphy, and you have, like, an entourage, and you have people, throwing roses so you could step on roses, and you have like trumpets. It's none of that, right?
It's none of that.
No, not quite. No, I mean it was a pretty regular, just a nice neighborhood in the outskirts of DC. And then I get to the house, music is blaring, and there's decorations all over the house falling off. It's a frat, exactly. It's a frat house. Pretty run down. And I'm like, oh, not really my scene. But, you know, I'm new to America, so I was like, go, do it.
Okay.
So I walk in and I start playing this game called Dice. It's apparently a frat game.
Okay.
You basically just have to throw a dice in the air. Okay. It has to bounce on the table before you can catch it.
Okay.
Very, very confusing. Okay. I'm pretty sure the point of the game is just to keep drinking. I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
Welcome because to a fraternity party.
All the punishments. If I caught the dice, they made me drink. If I didn't catch the dice, they made me drink. So I was kind of.
You were confused.
What the hell?
Yeah, I was like, who's winning? Who's losing? I mean, I'm a pretty competitive guy as well, so I wanted to know who was winning. Anyway, they kept it going, and I was having a good time, and then things just started to fall apart. People were jumping on tables, wearing completely ridiculous costumes. I mean, saying just some pretty absurd things. They thought I would tell them I'm from England, but I live in Switzerland. they would ask me where Sweden is on the map.
Welcome.
Yeah.
So where do they speak in Sweden? Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. And they're asking me all kinds of questions. They're sort of baffled that when I tell them I'm from England, but I'm not from London, they can't really seem to comprehend that. That was a big one I took away. They didn't really imagine that there's anything outside of London, and that it's sort of there's a whole other country outside.
Wait, there's something outside of London? What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
I was at that party. I asked you the question. Wait, there's something. what was the impression of your buddy? Did you go with your buddy from Jordan? Was he like the same? Like, yes. Holy cow, what the hell?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's from America, so he was pretty used to this, and he couldn't really understand my apprehension towards everything. I was obviously a little bit nervous going into a place I was completely unfamiliar with. I would say I was more culture shock.
Yes.
Going into a place like that than I was actually going to high school in Jordan.
Yes. Okay. All right.
I mean, it was completely different.
Okay.
Completely different
to
what I was
used
to.
Can you enact some of what you experienced?
Oh, absolutely. So I was talking to someone and then they left. And then so I'm like, I'm standing there on my own with a drink in my hand. And a random guy comes up to me and he's, you know, the classic, "What's up, dude? How you doing?" And
your accent is amazing.
Thank you. Did I improve from the first
time?
Yes. What's up, dude?
Good. And he's like, "What's going on, man?" And I... someone's dying to... One second. And he goes, "Hey, dude, would you be down to do a keg shot with me?" And I said, I beg your pardon. I have no idea what a keg shot is. And he goes, "Oh, no way, man, dude, come on. I got to show you." So I'm like, all right, we go to the bar. And he proceeds to stand on his head, with people holding him up, and had people pouring beer into his mouth.
Keg stands.
I didn't know what that was.
Did you do that?
Did you do it?
Absolutely not.
Wait a second. Why wouldn't you do a keg stand, dude? Because my next question would be like, what was your count? Because they count, they put the tap in your mouth, you're upside down, and you're supposed to do push-ups. Why do you keg stand?
What?
Yes, that's a thing. Well, the jocks do. I wasn't a jock, but I was told to do push-ups. People hold your feet up, you put your hands on the keg, someone puts a tap in your mouth, and then they count, you know, like one, two, like how, like
one,
how many
two.
Seconds, you know, you
yeah.
can drink.
Yes.
Oh my God!
They were doing that.
Oh my God!
Yeah, it was.
So you didn't participate.
Surprising. I didn't participate. Maybe next time I will.
Okay.
Maybe next time I'll give it a go. But this time I didn't. I was very nervous, and I was like, "Guys, I'm not doing that." I'm like, "No chance, I'm doing that." So I just said I sort of backed out of it. But it was interesting to see.
So what was your impression of American party life? Just like, wow, this is outrageous. People would never carry
this
on this way.
Very indulgent. I just don't know how any of these guys get their work done, because they seem to be very, very consumed by their Greek life. They're just interesting people. They're very, very different kinds of people.
They say college is the best 4 to 6 years of your life, right? Because especially if you're in Greek life, right? Like, I was never in a fraternity. That wasn't my thing.
Yep, yep.
I went to the parties. I've done a keg stand or two, right? Listen, it's just like different priorities, you know, like blow off a bunch of steam, you know.
I was saying this earlier with another guest we had on earlier today, Ashton, and what I was saying is, in no other country in the world is the cost of university as much as it is here in the United States. But I also believe that the experience in and of itself, whether it's that college experience that includes keg parties and the like, I don't think that there's anything to the extent that one would see in the United States in any other country where you go to college.
No, absolutely not. No, you wouldn't. It's very...
It's different,
they don't
right?
do anything half-assed. They don't do anything half-assed. They do it properly.
Yeah.
I guess that's sort of what you're
getting. American experience
it was never really,
is about.
It was a no-brainer for me. All my brothers came to the U.S.
Yep.
So I knew I wanted to be in the U.S. I just narrowed my choices down to Washington, D.C. And but it was something I definitely wanted to experience and see. It's just very, very crazy.
Ashton, as you look back on life, or as you look back on being the youngest of three, is it?
Youngest of four,
all of whom were educated in the United States, including your mom and dad, correct? Didn't they meet here in the United States?
They didn't meet in the United States. My mother went to Boston College.
Okay.
And my father went to Duke.
Well, okay. So that,
they actually met in the UK.
Met in the UK.
So okay. This is very interesting to me. Are the colleges in England, do they not measure up to the colleges in the United States? Like, does the education not measure up? Which seems like, I don't know.
It's different.
I think it's just a different experience.
It's a different experience.
I wouldn't say that one's better than the other. I mean, it's sort of what you want to get out of university. What are you looking for for your further education? So for me, I was looking for a more American experience. But you wouldn't really have the same interactions with people. You wouldn't meet the same type of people in the UK or in Europe, for sure, I'd say.
Ashton, are there any Americanisms that you've heard and have now experienced that you're like, oh my God, that's so American? Like going to McDonald's, or like going on a road trip with your buddies, camping. Like, are there any like typical American experiences that you've seen or that you've done already, and you're like, okay, I could check that off the box. I did that. Like that was very American.
Yeah, well, I think the my first frat party,
yes,
was definitely
100%.
Definitely one of them. That was as American as I went to a cookout with a friend. I went back home with him, and we had one of these cooks with his whole family out, and I think that's a very quintessentially American
yes, 100%.
Thing.
Yes.
It was just a big barbecue, nice sunny day.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's having a good time.
Keg stands going on in the corner, people doing keg stands, doing shots of Fireball. Yeah. That's typically American. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was definitely one of them. It's more, when you say Americanisms, it's more the words you guys use for different things. You know, if I were talking to a friend and I wanted him to come to my room, I would just say, hey man, want to come to my room?
Yeah.
Whereas here, they're like, yo dude, pull up.
Oh.
And that took some definitely getting used to. It was, it's just little words that they use that I'm still getting used to. I don't think I will fully get used to or understand them, but it's interesting to observe.
That's so interesting. Pull up, huh? That means come to my room?
Yeah like pull
come
up,
hang
come
out?
Over.
Pull up your pants. Your pants are drooping. Pull up your pants.
Ashton, advice to folks like you who have chosen to leave your home country to come to the United States to attend university. Like, if you were able to give advice, what would that advice be? Whether it's like tongue-in-cheek and funny or whether it's serious.
Hang on. Tongue-in-cheek and funny. Go to YouTube. Watch a keg stand. Go.
As far as advice, I would say just disrupt and change.
Don't I love that.
Stay in one lane. Get in both lanes. Change lanes. Go start reversing. Go in all kinds of different directions. Just try it.
I like that.
You might like it. If you don't like it, try something else. keep changing.
You can kind of reinvent yourself. No one really, no one knows you, right? No one knows me. You can be who you want to
be.
Okay, so how have you manifested that in your own life as a student here in the United States? What are the disruptions and the shifts?
Well, I would say it's definitely started when I was in Jordan.
Absolutely.
Or when I went to Jordan.
Yes.
That was my sort of my first big change in my life. But coming to DC, it's just been, you know, times where I would usually say no to things, I've started going, you know what? Just go do it. You know what? Just go do it. You might like it. Try it. And that's served me pretty well while I've been here. I've met some just fantastic people, some really, really interesting people, people I wouldn't have met otherwise had I had said no to different opportunities and outings.
Yeah.
So definitely, I would say change.
Be open, change.
Yes.
Right? Swim in other lanes. I like that.
Do you have a personal mantra?
A personal mantra?
Yes.
Well, I do, but you're not supposed to share it.
Oh, but like I'm not necessarily... yes, but I'm not necessarily talking about a transcendental mantra, if you will.
What the hell are you talking about? Transcendental mantra? Here's my mantra.
Do you have a transcendental mantra?
What does that even mean,
a transcendental mantra? I know what a mantra is.
I mean like words to live by. Because we had talked about, words to live by.
Yeah. I would say I have words to live by, more just a general understanding of where I want to be until I decide to change, I guess.
Okay. That's great.
My words to live by are head down, work hard, be kind. Just head down, work hard, be kind. Like, dude.
That's a great one.
The vibe you give off is the vibe you receive, right? When you meet somebody new, in the first seconds, you can make that relationship or break that relationship.
Yeah.
Like professionally, I'm in software sales, and that's just like I know that about myself. And if the person's having a bad day and you're not getting that vibe, you could help steer that conversation. And such is life, right? Work hard, head down, be nice. That's all.
Me, it's you are exactly where you are supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Always. Mm-hmm. That's what I live by.
I like that. You're exactly where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
All right. What are we doing here? Ashton, is there anything you want to say to the listening audience? No pressure.
But how would people get in touch with you? If they wanted to.
LinkedIn, he's on it. Check it out.
you could always look me up on Instagram, send me a message.
Okay, what is your handle?
My handle is at Ashton M. Stewart.
Ashton M. Stewart.
Stewart, F-T-E-W-A-R-T.
And M stands for McNeil?
That's correct, my middle name.
Yes, I love that. And can we send a shout out to your mom and dad, Victoria and Paul?
Yes, of course, we definitely should.
And I think we need to also make sure we cover your siblings. And I don't know all of them.
Yeah, well, there's Zach. You know Zach.
I know Zach.
Yeah, Zach's great. He's five years older than me.
Yeah.
And he's my best friend.
He's
the best big brother in the world. He's fantastic. Then there's Lucas.
Shout out to Lucas.
Lucas Stewart on Instagram. He's fantastic. He's the other redhead in the family, and he's a very big golfer.
Okay.
And he's hilarious in his own way. We're all very different, us as boys.
Yes.
He's very OCD. Things have to be the way he likes it.
Yep.
And, you know, sort of can't have his slippers not in perfect, not perfectly put
placed.
Away.
Oh, sounds like Mark.
Sleep. He's very OCD in that way.
You should see how I line up my shoes, dude. And how the cushions are on my couch. All right, listen.
No, wait. We have one last brother.
We're doing a song. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
and
I'm sorry.
One last brother to shout
out.
I'm
looking up the lyrics to Eleanor Rigby
or
as
sister.
We speak.
Well, then there's Dylan, who has his own social media company.
Nice.
And social steering. He's the entrepreneurial brother. He's the perfect child.
Excellent.
He's the one we all go to for advice.
Oh.
Well, thank you. And I think Mark is looking up.
I can't find the damn lyrics.
Eleanor Rigby, because he wants to sing with Ashton, who loves the Beatles.
Ashton, do you know? Hold on.
The lyrics to Eleanor Rigby, absolutely.
All right. I'm going to give you. Right, in three. Oh, crap, dude. I'm sorry. I should have teed this up earlier. All right. Go ahead, Ashton.
You start, Ashton.
And I'll pretend like I know the lyrics.
Do I have a backing track, or am I just going a cappella?
You're just going.
A cappella.
A cappella? Damn. All right. Look at all the lonely people. Look at all the lonely people. Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in a church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people.
Amazing. You're amazing, dude. Such a pleasure getting to know you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Ashton, thanks so much for coming and chilling with us on a Saturday afternoon when you could be doing much more interesting things.
Like keg stands. Like keg stands and fireball shots. All right.
And I hope to
thank
catch
you so
up
much
you
for having me.
Thank you, Ashton. Pleasure, dude.
I like it. Definitely will. Thank you
yes.
so much.
0 hour. Peace. We're out. Thank you, Ashton.
Thank you, Ashton.
Thank you.
All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all come from?